Hey, this is Julia Voth, and you're listening to the Rated NA podcast at nerdappropriate.com.
Number 97, the podcast for nerdappropriate.com, where we talk about all things nerdy, including movies, comic books, and video games. We are recording super early because of other scheduling conflicts and PAX coming up and other such fun things. But how you guys doing?
We're doing great, man. We're doing really good. We actually have a really special guest this week. Actress Julia Voth is going to be on the episode. And for those of you who don't know who Julia Voth is, she was actually the model used for Jill Valentine in several of the Resident Evil video games. And she was also Trixie in Bitch Slap. And she's actually currently starring in Project Sarah, which can be found on YouTube. So we are super excited to have her on. And she was an absolute blast. And she actually hung in there and endured our nerdiness for a while.
She was really, really cool.
She was really cool. She was so much fun. Yeah. It's always weird when you, because she was cool enough to do a print interview with us over 2 years ago. And she was one of our early interviews. And she kind of stuck with us ever since the interview and kept in contact with us and would shoot us an email every now and again. And we asked to have her back on, and she said, yeah. And we think it turned out great. So,
yeah. Yeah. Really, really genuine and down to earth. She's very cool. Yeah.
So definitely hang out and listen to our chat with her, because it's a good one, and I think you guys will like it.
Let's do the rundown.
Cool. So, otherwise, today on the podcast, we are going to just talk a little bit about the news that there is to talk about, given the 2 or 3 day turnaround from the last time we recorded. And then we'll go into the interview, and we'll give each other back massages and maybe talk about PAX a little bit more.
All right.
I need a back massage. Sounds good.
Let's just have a long discussion about back massages.
Yeah.
I could do it.
Technique.
I need one.
You know what, guys? I'm just going to take out the interview, forget the interview, and we'll talk about back massages.
Just back massages. I think this is a plan.
Maybe we should just start a back massage podcast where we just discuss technique. And is that a good idea? No.
Hillary's not jumping in on this. I don't know.
No, I'm not.
She's staring at this.
I'm just like, what?
It's just a back massage, Hillary. Come on, don't be scared.
It's not weird.
So
it's weird. Scott and I give each other back massages all the time.
Okay. So Ash, what's going on?
Man. Let's see. We talked a couple days ago. Since then, I've been in full PAX prep mode, as much alliteration as I can possibly use. So we're getting ready for the Penny Arcade Expo, and we actually did a lot of booking. All three of us have been doing a lot of booking for appointments and such in the past few weeks, because for those that are listening who don't really know, you know, much about us or much about Penny Arcade Expo, it's a big gaming expo. It's in Boston, and we're going to be out there covering it, and this will be our third East, and I think our fifth PAX, or sixth PAX, I think. I don't know. But we've been there a lot, and we love it. And we love that they let us go out there and actually cover their event. So we're getting prepped for that. I haven't gotten a chance to play too many games since we last spoke, which is kind of a bummer. I actually did run out and pick up Tomb Raider after I heard your guys' discussion of Tomb Raider. So it's in my tray right now, ready to go.
Yeah,
but I haven't
so
had
good.
The opportunity to play it. I know I need to actually complete it before Gears of War Judgment comes out. So that's my mission.
No doubt. I realize that once Judgment comes out, you're only going to have about 2 days before PAX anyways.
Yeah, that's going to be rough. It's
good luck with that.
I'm not going to have too much of a chance to play it.
Yeah.
So, Hillary, what have you been doing? I know you've been having a wonderful day from what we've heard.
Oh yeah, I've had a fantastic day. I've been working
not
a lot.
What?
Not.
Psych.
Yay.
Did you hold out your hand and like pull it away, and then like slowly rub it by your? You slowly rubbed it by your temple and went psych, psych.
Too slow.
I love that you said not, and you were sincere about it. That's amazing. Thank you for that.
Yeah, all I need to throw in is a couple of hellas, and I'm okay. So let's see, working a lot. I'm working on a lot of really cool things for PAX East as well with the BioWare stuff. And hopefully we can talk about that really, 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 really soon, because I know that there's a lot of you that have a lot of questions. And believe me, there is some really cool stuff that we're doing. So I can't wait to talk about that. My regular job is my regular job. And sweet. Yeah, so that's about it. I haven't done anything too nerdy. I'm kind of waiting and holding out for BioShock Infinite that comes out after PAX. Hopefully I can dive right into that. Awesome. So that's what I'm waiting for.
Cool.
What about you guys?
You have to pick.
Scott?
Thanks for asking, Hillary. This week, I've been playing some of the old Tomb Raider as well. And I actually got to that part that you referenced in the previous podcast, and I lost my shit. It was pretty awesome.
Wait, the crying part or the...
The part where she gets tough, like really tough. Yeah.
Oh, so good.
Yeah, that was cool. It's great to see her character progression in the game. It's so exciting.
Have you cried at all?
No, but like I'm enthralled. Like I literally can't stop playing it. I'll get to a new area and I'm like, okay, just one more area. I'm just going to keep playing. Oh, and then like it's midnight.
That's when you know a game is great.
Yeah. So good.
Put it down.
Yeah. It definitely has that kind of Uncharted draw where you just want to like keep playing to see what's happening, you know?
Yeah.
Let's see. I downloaded some new Windows 8 RT games on the tablet that I'm excited about. And that thing that I've been doing for like the last 22 years on and off again is really going to finish someday, I'm happy to say. I know I don't talk about it a lot, but...
Masturbation? What?
What?
Yeah. For 22 years?
He's figuring out how to finish it.
One of these days, Scott. It's a lot of buildup.
No. I got some good news today, so I'm just going to leave it at that.
Good, man. And I wish you all the luck in the world.
Yay!
Thanks. So maybe by the summer, that'll be done.
Then can we say... Well, we'll save it till then.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll save it.
Yeah. Yep, fair enough. So, Matt... What's going on, buddy?
Let me just say this, guys. Mm. Chubby Tree is a regular Metropolis at this point.
Yes! If it could only be a regular Xbox Arcade name, too.
Oh, I know. I lost it, I think. It's gone forever.
There's got to be a way.
It's the sands of time.
It's got to be a way.
I have been playing a ton... Go ahead.
Have you encountered any of the issues that I keep reading about like Sim Pathfinder is not working, or streets have to be made in weird ways because it's not, people don't get jobs or something? I don't know. It's kind of crazy.
If I have, I know what you're talking about. If I have, I haven't noticed, you know what I mean? Like it didn't stick out necessarily, but I'm also not like in any game. I'm not really a min-maxer. Like I just do it because I like to have fun building cities, not necessarily make the best thing ever created. I did get a weird one last night while I was playing. I got a no one got a weird one last night
while you were playing.
But I built this city where I kind of wanted to have like a city center that was like a big circle, and then I had like roads coming off of it. And
like
one of the
Paris.
Roads, yes, and one of the roads was like super long. Like I built this huge road coming off of it, and it kept telling me that I hadn't zoned residential or something. It was giving me a weird, like, no one's going to build a house. And I was like, why? There's like plenty of place. And it was weird, but eventually it kind of kicked in. I built some roads around it and it was fine. But that might have been what you're talking about. But I haven't noticed too much else. I'm having a friggin' blast. It honestly is a shame how poorly it launched, because it is a really good game and it's a lot of fun. I did notice, Kotaku posted an article about it. I did notice that I went offline for like 20 minutes at one point and it didn't care or do anything. It just kept rolling like everything was fine. So that whole like always online thing, I think there's apparently some buffer to it where if you lose connection or anything, or if the servers go down, they don't like immediately boot you off. What else have I done? Well, I watched Looper for the first time.
Nice.
What do you think?
Is it better than the movie Jumper? This is a callback joke for our long-time listeners.
Honestly, I was mad at myself for not seeing it this long. It is a really good movie. Like, I really, I enjoyed the hell out of it. You didn't like it? Did you watch it?
Yeah, I watched it, but I don't think it was like amazing. It was okay.
Really? Loved it. I actually enjoyed it. I loved how they played with time and like basically flat out said, you know, like, this will cause a paradox. This is why we shouldn't do this. And like, just like talked about it like you would talk about a time shifting movie later, and you know, like as a real person, like they just dealt with it in the movie. I thought it was cool. I mean, it wasn't like the best written thing ever created. It wasn't Oscar nominated worthy or anything, but I thought it was a good movie, a really solid movie.
It's kind of sad.
It was a little sad, but it could have a happy ending to it without spoiling it. For one of the smaller characters, if you will.
Very small.
And I also watched it in 120 hertz, which is the first time I've ever done that on a TV. And it is fucking weird, guys. It looks kind of shit.
You're explaining at dinner that it looks kind of like hyper-realistic, almost like a soap opera or something.
Yeah, nothing blurs. So like motion is perfectly crystal clear. And when things are like green screened or CG'd or something like that, it looks really awful. Like everything, you see every little piece of everything inside of it. So we found out we could turn it off after we finished the movie, and we turned it off and we watched some of the scenes that look particularly bad, and it looked like miles better. So
yeah,
I'm not sold on that. I don't understand. I'm sure it's amazing for sports and other such things that like crystal clearness would be good for, but for movies, it was weird. But I think that's about it.
Cool.
Well, so, guys, speaking of watching weird stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, Hillary.
News.
So what's weird is, well, maybe not so weird, but weird to some, weird in the sense that it's cool, is that Kristen Bell and a couple of other folks are starting a Kickstarter to raise money to have a Veronica Mars movie. I can't even say that. Veronica Mars.
Yes.
Now,
this is pretty cool.
Who is this Kristen
Bell? Who's interested?
So Kristen Bell is the lady that you may know from Assassin's Creed.
Or Mamassins Mead.
No, what's pretty incredible is that Kristen Bell and Rob Thomas set out to make this movie, and it was Rob Thomas's idea, who was, of course, the not Matchbox 20's Rob Thomas. Wait, Scott is now holding a signed picture of Kristen Bell that says, what does it say? To Scott?
It says, for Scott, love Kristen Bell. That's so weird how that works out.
Yeah.
So when your marriage comes down to keeping your wife or keeping that photo.
There's at least going to be a moment of hesitation before you throw the photo out.
It's a trap.
So anyway, like we were saying, Rob Thomas had always wanted to make a Veronica Mars movie to kind of wrap up what happens with the character, because it was his, you know, his baby, his pet project, and it kind of got canceled prematurely after the third season. And Kristen Bell's always been a huge fan of the project and a huge fan of Rob Thomas, and she loves the character so much. And if anyone's ever watched Veronica Mars, you probably know why. It's an incredible character in terms of powerful female protagonists. She ranks very, very high up on the list. She uses her intellect to solve crimes, and she's really, really strong and just a great, great character. So obviously, you know, Kristen Bell loved playing her. So today is for the record, we're recording on March 13th, so you're not going to get this for a little while. But today, they actually started their Kickstarter campaign. When I got wind of it, it was at about $700,000, right? When we started recording this podcast, it was almost at the $2 million goal. And now, as we have been recording this podcast, it has met its $2 million goal.
Yep.
So there will be a Veronica Mars movie. There are still 30 days left in the Kickstarter.
Whoa.
So it made its goal in less than a day.
Wow.
And so this could possibly end up being a big budget Veronica Mars film, because if the Kickstarter keeps going, it says down here on the list, of course, that if it goes over, then they're going to use that money to, you know, make the movie bigger and better. So it looks like in 2014, 2015, we will see a brand new Veronica Mars project funded by Kickstarter. What do you guys think about them kind of just circumventing Hollywood and just saying, fuck it, let's get the fans to pay for our movie?
That's kind of cool.
Do you agree or disagree with it?
Well,
I mean, they're going to be making money off the ticket sales too. So I don't know.
I mean, it may have been something that like you could not have convinced the studio to make in the first place. So if this actually gets it done so the fans can see the movie, then maybe it's not so bad.
So did he actually still hold rights to it? That's what I don't get. Is he buying rights along with making the movie, or does he still own it?
I don't know if he still owns it, but I know that if I was reading correctly, because I read the whole big post today, and it's a huge post. If you go to their Kickstarter campaign and just do a search for Veronica Mars, you'll be able to find it. But they are going to get distribution through Warner Brothers. So it's there is some sort of deal in place. Warner Brothers may have said something to the effect of, hey, if you can get the money, we'll help distribute it. So it looks like some sort of relationship has been established between the two. But I personally think this is a great idea.
It says, of course, Warner Brothers still owns Veronica Mars.
Oh, there
we go. We would need their blessing and cooperation to pull this off. Kristen and I met with Warner Brothers, and they agreed to allow us to take this shot.
Cool.
So I don't know if they're distributing it. It sounds like they're blessing them to actually make it because they own the rights to Veronica Mars still.
Cool. Hmm. Very cool. So either way, I think this is a great idea. I could easily see, you know, other projects, and I don't even want to say Firefly, but imagine if they put a Firefly kick.
Jericho.
Or Jericho.
There you go.
Both of those would get funded in days. You know what I mean? If Firefly is like, hey, we can make a Firefly one shot, you know, movie for $10 million, I think it would get funded in about 2 hours.
Yeah.
You know,
or a BSG movie about Starbuck.
Whoa. Well,
that's just a personal thing of yours.
She's already got the script.
Yeah. Well, it's ready to go.
Go to the Kickstarter.
Well, I, for one, I loved Veronica Mars. It was a show that I didn't think I was going to really enjoy and ended up really, really liking it. So I'm glad to see that it's going to be coming back, at least for a little short movie, which is great. Or a feature.
I don't know, but I feel like I always say this every time we talk about Kickstarter. Like, where does the fan entitlement begin and end in a situation like this? If you funded the movie directly with your own hard-earned money,
yeah,
don't you kind of want to have some influence on it?
Well, I
mean, that's not really the bargain of Kickstarter.
Yeah, you're donating. That's the whole thing. And
but what if you hate the ending?
Well, that you have made a poor donation. At least there's going to be an end product.
That is true. Yeah. But you have to pay to see it.
You probably will. Well, mm-hmm. Actually, if you get one of the higher tiered rewards, you get free DVDs and stuff. So it does. You do get a free version.
If you pledge,
so it's almost like you pre-ordered it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you pledge $500 or more, Kristen Bell will record up to a 15 second outgoing voicemail message for you. You can decide what the message will say within the bounds of good taste.
Yeah. Does having her plug our podcast count as bad taste?
I was going to say, can we start a Kickstarter to raise $500 to get Kristen Bell to say something on our podcast?
There's one below that. I was telling Matt earlier, one below that, that she will follow you on Twitter for a year.
Whoa.
What?
That's awesome.
Scott is actually...
Somebody's just paying to just at respond to her just over and over and over again. Please pay attention to me, Kristen Bell. Please pay attention to me, Kristen Bell.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So, Matt, you know a lot about this. We are all curious about what's going to be happening with, of course, Justice League and the rest of the DC Universe movies, because they're kind of in a state of flux right now. So
right. So early reports were that the Justice League movie is terrible and that they've basically canned the script for like the third time and no one's been able to pull it together. And the latest rumor, this actually came out last week, so it's a little bit old news, but we had such a packed episode that I didn't bother trying to squeeze it in. But early report is that Christopher Nolan is going to be brought on as an executive producer or producer role for Justice League, as well as pretty much every other DC Universe movie that's going to come out, and that Christian Bale and possibly Henry Cavill will come back and appear as Batman and Superman in the Justice League movie, thus making it more akin to Marvel's kind of Whedonverse, you know, take on all of the properties that Marvel has right now. This would be the Nolanverse actually would be controlling the Justice League, which I said I didn't think was going to happen, but would be amazing if it did. So what do you guys think? Would you go see a Justice League movie if it's under the reins of, and they've even said that Zack Snyder may be brought on as the director if the Superman movie does as well as everybody's thinking it's going to do?
I'd love to give it a shot. I mean, I guess it depends on the quality of the script. That's the most important thing for a movie like this, right? So if they can get the characters right and they can get the feel of the universe right and, you know, pulling off what Joss Whedon did was nearly impossible. Like, that movie should have been a colossal failure.
Right.
So seeing if, you know, a new team can actually do that, that's the interesting thing. I don't necessarily agree that, like, the Nolanverse or, like, Nolan's vision is the best for DC, but he's good at what he does too.
Yep.
Well, I think he's created such a different universe for DC than Marvel created with Whedon and with just blanked on his freaking name. Singles guy. What's his name?
Favreau.
Yeah, Favreau. So, you know, maybe it's that kind of one side to another, that this way they don't look like they're just mimicking whatever Marvel's doing. They're actually creating their own sort of universe at the same time. Plus, we also have to remember that Gotham is a dark city and Batman is a dark tale. Like, it's always done that way. So if Superman and the Justice League can be a little more fantastical underneath Nolan, maybe it would work.
I don't know. I just don't know if I really want any more. I am Batman. You know, I mean, Henry Cavill. Yes, definitely. Yes.
I just like the dude because he's Superman and he's like a strapping gentleman.
Yeah. And his outfit is not bright blue. I like that it's navy. And he was on the Tudors, and the Tudors goes down in history.
Okay.
So all time favorites.
So you actually do have like a legitimate reason for liking him rather than you know, he's a hot strapping dude.
No, he was amazing on the Tudors.
There we go.
Yeah.
Respect restored.
Achievement unlocked.
Is Ash's respect really an achievement?
Oh, boy.
So I think the key to this is going to be to see what Man of Steel does. You know, I mean, if it really is that good and it's got Zack Snyder at the helm with Christopher Nolan producing, then maybe a Justice League movie could be pulled off with this team. It's possible. You know, I mean, if he's producing with that director, then they have some say over the script too. And I have yet to see Nolan put out a poorly written movie.
Mm-hmm.
Does it have to be Christian Bale, though? No offense, Christian Bale, but like, let's get a new Batman.
Because he listens to this podcast.
Yeah, I don't think he does.
I really can't stand that.
Well, I'll talk
You're upsetting
to him.
Mr. Bale, who listens to our podcast.
I'll talk to Mr. Bale and see if he'll lighten up on the growl. Does that work?
That works.
Yes.
Thanks, man. We appreciate it.
No problem.
All right. So last but not least in our short news today, we're going to talk just briefly about PAX, because this may or may not be the last podcast that goes live before we're actually all up in Boston together hanging out. Unless we do the emergency cast. We don't know. The emergency cast. So a couple quick announcements. Announcement number one is, this is the third time we'll be doing this, but we are having our pre-PAX party, which people have started to name the NAP. The Nerd Appropriate pre-PAX party. There will be little napping, actually, at this Nerd Appropriate pre-PAX party, but... if you're interested in attending the Nerd Appropriate pre-PAX party, it's honestly just a casual social gathering that's going to take place on Thursday night before PAX East. And there's no dress code. There's no fancy nothing. You just kind of show up and hang out and hang out with like-minded people and have a good time. And it'll be ourselves and a bunch of other podcasts and you know, just good people. So if you're interested in hanging out with good people like us, because we're good people,
yeah,
send myself.
Sounds like you're trying to convince yourself of that.
I am. I'm a good person, I swear. Send me an email, ash@nerdappropriate.com, and I will go ahead and forward you the details about the address and where to be and all that kind of stuff. And also, Hillary is going to be doing a bunch of stuff at PAX this year. Hillary, why don't you inform our brave listeners what you're going to be doing?
Okay. So most of the time I'll be at the BioWare base in room 206 AB, which is right next to the main theater. So if you go up the stairs, second floor, you can't really miss it. So come to the BioWare base and say hi. I know you guys will be there from time to time as well, which would be awesome. Yeah. Woohoo. Yes. And yeah, on Sunday at 10:30 a.m. in the Corgi Theater. I have no idea where the Corgi Theater is, but it's a cool name, so that's awesome.
Exactly.
Who cares? It's Corgis.
Yeah, who cares? It's the Corgis.
Yeah. So I will be on a panel called Foreplay, Romance, and Games with My Lin.
You have to say it in your radio voice.
Yeah. Oh, God. Okay, here we go.
All right, everybody quiet.
Okay. Foreplay, Romance, and Games.
Oh, that sounds interesting.
That sounds wonderful.
It sounds wonderful. That. Yeah, so we're going to be talking about romance and games. It'll be fun.
Ah,
weird. So. Wow. I never could have guessed that.
Yeah, so it'll be moderated by Sean Baptiste, which is, he's a really cool guy. And Melissa and Anna from Press to Reset will be there. And then an author named Lacey, who sounds really amazing, will also be there. So come with questions and listen to us talk about how we like to romance make-believe characters in our spare time.
Nice. Cool. Yeah.
Don't forget My Lin, because she'll be there too.
No, I said My Lin.
She said My Lin.
Oh,
I thought so.
She was my first name.
I didn't hear. I'm sorry. I have a bad ear.
We love you, My Lin.
I have a bad ear. It's weird.
Have you resolved your beef with Melissa Kay yet?
We're gonna have a showdown at PAX.
Oh,
all right.
Yeah, so we're bringing spurs and revolvers and tumbleweeds, and we're gonna have a little standoff.
Wow,
not gonna be at the Knapp, is it?
It might be at the Knapp.
Oh,
what's a what's
better
Canadian,
be at the Knapp?
What's a Canadian standoff like?
Something with maple syrup.
Yeah, it's very polite.
Hey, you want to take the first shot?
Can go about your business.
I think the best thing is, like, you know, the whole Canadian stereotype about maple syrup. When Melissa Kay met us, she brought us maple syrup.
But it was so good. I loved it.
It was really good.
Damn. How'd she get it across the border?
I don't know. I think it was like under 3 ounces. It was really small.
Maybe instead of doing like a Wild West thing, we'll do a match of curling.
There we go.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
She can teach us how.
Yeah. Oh, you just assume that she can do it too, right?
Indeed.
And she's probably really, really good at hockey.
Oh my gosh.
So how much of this are we going
to
cut?
I was trying to take this in a positive direction. Did not work. So,
okay, guys, here is our chat with actress Julia Voth. Of course, you can follow her on Twitter at Julia Voth. And we'll be right back after our interview with Julia to wrap things up. We are here with our very special guest, actress Julia Voth. Hello, Julia.
Woohoo!
Hey, Julia.
Hey, guys. How are you?
We're awesome. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. For our listeners that have been listening for a while and readers that have been reading for a while, we did run a print interview with you a long time ago. And it just it happened to land on Valentine's Day, which was kind of ironic and silly. But
I like that.
Yeah. But for our listeners who don't know who Julia Voth is, Julia has been in a lot of really awesome stuff. She's starring right now in Project Sarah, which is on YouTube under the IGN Start label or imprint, or what is it? I guess what's the right word for that, guys? Is it
A channel?
Channel. There we go. IGN.
There you go.
It's a new
wow,
thing.
Wow, Ash.
I had brand. That's what I was
like, am I right? Should I just throw it out there?
Yeah.
I'm really professional. But other than Project Sarah, you may have seen her in the film Bitch Slap, which is ridiculous and awesome and so much fun. So much fun.
It was a good time.
It looked like a good time. I can't imagine. It looked like a totally good time. And for those of you who have been around for a while, you probably saw Julia as Jill Valentine. She's actually the model that Jill Valentine was based on in a bunch of the Resident Evil games, which is where I first saw you. And I'm going to embarrass myself right here because why the hell not?
Yeah.
But I was like, I love Jill Valentine. She's so awesome. And like, she's my favorite video game character. And then years went by and then I ran into this guy at college and he's like, you know, Jill Valentine's based on a real person. And I kind of just did this like, huh?
That's awesome.
And then I started, you know, admiring you from afar, not in a creepy stalkery way, but like I was like, oh, she's a real person. And she's actually a kind of cool person. So I was like, this is awesome. So sweet. Now we finally have you on the show and it's going to be great.
So glad to be here. That's awesome. Yeah, I know a lot of people didn't realize that she wasn't just this completely, you know, digital made up character. It was like based off of a person. So that's, it's really nice for, you know, for people to discover that so much, you know, so many years down the road. It's really cool.
Absolutely. So I like to start off, and I know the answer to this, but some of our listeners might not. But you have a really awesome origin story because you kind of grew up in like the snowy wilds of Canada and then had this crazy transition. I love to make things dramatic. So the snowy, icy,
snowy wastelands.
Saskatchewan, Canada. Far north wilderness.
Yeah, absolutely. So tell us a little bit about your origin, what you're like as a kid, and then maybe how you kind of left Canada and went and did some other stuff.
Okay. Well, yeah, I grew up on a farm in Saskatchewan, Canada. We had like 1,200 acres. We were a grain farm. Actually, the farm is still in my family. It's been my great-great-grandfather homesteaded like 110 years ago.
Wow.
So it's been in my family forever. And my dad still lives on the farm and farms there every year and everything. And so I grew up with two brothers and a sister. And I'm surrounded by two boys, older brother, younger brother. And so I kind of grew up doing boy stuff and making forts and, you know, just doing the climbing trees, getting dirty, you know, things that you do when you're a kid on a farm with your brothers. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah. And it was, I mean, it was a great way to grow up. It was, you know, super safe. It's beautiful up there. You know, my whole family was up there. But I always knew that when I was growing up, there's always like something else that I wanted to do. And I think I was like 12 and I went up to my mom. I was like, Mom, I want to be a model. And she was like, okay, if that's what you want to do, we can make that happen. And
that's a cool mom.
I have a cool family. I do. I have an awesome family. Mom and dad, everyone's been super supportive my whole life. So owe a lot to them for sure. But and then so I was, when I was 14, I had an opportunity to go to Japan and model, and she came with me, traveled with me till I was about 17. And so yeah, went to Japan when I was 14, and then on my second trip when I was 15 is when I did the Resident Evil job. So
how did Capcom end up casting you, or how were you discovered by them for that part?
Yeah, it was an audition, really. Showed up at this like skyscraper office building and walked into this room with this long table full of Japanese businessmen looking very stern, very like not smiling, and they're like just like look really intimidating. I was like 15. I'm like, here's my book. I'm a model, you know, not really knowing what I'm there for. And they said it was for a video game, but we didn't know. I wasn't familiar with the Resident Evil games, and I don't. I know that the first one I was in was, and I think one that, you know, broke a lot of boundaries when it came to effects and just what they're able to do.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And so, anyways, a couple days later, my agency got a job, got a call, and they said that I got the job. So I was like, that's pretty sweet. So I went to the job, and they scanned me into a computer. And my hands, my feet, my tongue, my ears, like everything into a computer.
Wow.
Yeah, different facial expressions. So when she's scared, it's my scared face. Or
that is so cool.
Yeah, different, you know, different like vowel sound shapes with my mouth. And then they just put it all together, threw it into a computer and jumbled it up. And born was Jill Valentine.
That's incredible. Very cool.
So, I mean, Jill Valentine's kind of an iconic character. And like you said, Resident Evil is like huge. I mean, that groundbreaking at the time, and it's still an amazing series. But I'm sure that, you know, you get stopped a lot. And what was it like the first time that someone recognized you as Jill?
Yes, yeah, so it has happened a few times. And I was at a premiere. Actually, it was like a bitch slap thing. And I was walking out the door and someone said, Jill? Jill? And I was like, and I kept walking, and my mom happened to be there, and she was like, Julia, I think that person's talking to you. And I turned around, I was like, what? Talking to me? And it was so awesome. You're like, oh, Jill Valentine in the game. And I mean, that's cool. I mean, that's cooler than being recognized for any movie or television show or anything else I've ever done.
That is really
being recognized because of a video game is pretty amazing.
That's
awesome. Cool.
Yeah, it, it, it's pretty flattering. So yeah,
that is really neat. We we've been asking the community, various communities, to send us questions for you, and one question that landed in our lap was actually about the Jill Ballantyne character. So we figured we'd throw it in here. This okay. one's from a gentleman by the name of Michael Williamson. And he says, if they did a remake of Resident Evil and approach you to reprise the role of Jill, would you be up for it? And he says, that is a Julia Voth's fan dream. So that is a dream of Mr. Michael Williamson. Aww. That's pretty awesome.
Well, it's a dream of mine, too. I would love, love to play Jill Ballantyne in any sort of movie or something or video game or anything. Because I did it when I was so young, and it's been part of my career for so long, and it actually led to Project Sarah. That's actually how I got the job for Project Sarah, was because Ben, who wrote it and created it, was looking for a Jill Ballantyne-esque character. Oh. And
see, I think
Googled, and there I was. So
yeah, that's incredible. So to be honest, the first time, I think you actually messaged me and said, hey, I have this thing, because I was bugging you about something, which I do periodically, but you said, I have this thing coming up. I can't tell you what it is yet, but you're going to like it. And then it was the original Project Sarah, the short film. Yeah. And when I first watched it, your character's name is Jillian, yeah. or Gillian or Jillian?
Jillian.
So, it's Jillian. Yeah. So your character's name is Jillian, but she's called Jill in the first episode. And I was like, mm-hmm. I did this like triple take. I was like, yeah. Did you say her name was Jill? I'm like,
I noticed
what is
that too.
I was like, is this a resident? I was like totally floored. I didn't know what was going on. I thought it might be some like secret, like guerrilla marketing for the new Resident Evil. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know what was going on. But tell us a little bit more about getting involved in Project Sarah, because first of all of us have seen it and we all think it's totally amazing and everybody needs to watch it. The production value on this is honestly like a huge. It's huge. I mean, it's like a huge budget action film combined with, you know, science fiction and
yeah,
horror as well. So.
You know, I'm so, so excited about it and so proud of what everyone did. Everyone worked really, really hard. And I think that it shows, from the first one, and especially like now the next five that we did, you know, we just wanted to take the story and make it bigger and better. And, you know, we have helicopters and it's just like, you know, we have like this little mini car chase. And it's just like, I mean, I think for a webisode, I think we, you know, we wanted to sort of break the rules a little bit and to change people's minds of what a webisode could be. I think a lot of people have a lot of ideas of what it is, if it's low budget or the acting's not good or the quality of everything, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think we wanted to be like, you know, no. We're going to make something amazing.
I mean, you have helicopters and stuff. You know? It's ridiculous. I mean, the budget must have been absolutely huge, or at least it's made to look huge, because there's a lot going on in this.
Yeah, for a webisode, I think that they had a decent budget for sure. And, you know, I know IGN saw it and Fox funded it too. And they, you know, I think they saw something special in it and wanted to, you know, just see more, I think, with everyone else. I was very flattered. You know, we put a lot into the first one. And the first one, I mean, honestly, I didn't have that much of a budget. It was more of a passion project, really.
Yeah.
So to be able to take that and make it into something more was really, really great.
Well, just sorry to cut you off. The look of the series alone, I mean, budget aside, the first episode takes place like mainly in a warehouse, but mm-hmm. the angles that are used and the effects are just brilliant. So, I mean, you know, it's.
Thank you. That's Ben. You know, Ben Houchel, he's he has such a really, really great vision. He has a great eye. We've worked together on several projects now, so we have a really good working relationship. We get each other on set, and it's really nice working with him, because he just allows me to take my time and, you know, explore the moments and really be able to live in it and discover the little bits. And I think that's why I'm really happy with my performance all, you know, through the whole arc of the story so far. And it looks really good. He knows how to take his time and really, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. It looks great.
You mentioned the direction of the shoot and having the time to like sort of explore the character and the space and everything. And I rewatched it today, and I noticed that there was something really interesting about the film, and that was that like you make taking cover look like the most interesting thing I've ever seen. And I thought that was really cool. Like, you take these like super cool action poses when you get behind cover. And I don't know if that was something of your choosing or something that was like a direction, but I thought that was like a really neat touch.
I actually
like,
noticed that too, actually.
Yeah. Oh, I think it was, I think I noticed it at the helicopter scene when you finally got to the warehouse. I don't want to spoil anything, but
yeah. That's really awesome. Thank you. No, that's just me. That was just me. That was me taking cover.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was totally like action inspired. I thought it was really cool. I was like, wow, this is really fascinating. Like, usually you take cover and you just wait for them to stop shooting and you jump out and shoot them back. But like,
right.
Yeah, it was just like there was a pose and I was like, wow, that's really badass. This action pose. You know?
Yeah, there were a couple of scenes where you like drop to your knees and you're like firing. Like, I was like, this is just awesome. I'm like, yeah. so super badass.
Thank you. Well, you know what? And I attribute that again to the people that Ben surrounded me with. We had incredible stunt coordinators and weapon experts and everything. So I really like we really shot those five episodes in 2 weeks, but we had a whole week of rehearsal and training and mm-hmm. everything just to make sure everything was right. So when I was on set and when we were doing those things, it probably looks natural because it felt very natural. You know, and I was very prepared to do it. You don't just go and have all that stuff happening and just do it. You know, it takes a lot of, you know, practice and training. So I think that's probably why
it really shows.
Looks so great. So thanks, guys.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think there was a scene towards the end where you're taking cover on a corner and there's a guy that rounds the corner and you shoot him in the head.
The clothesline,
his head like smacks up against the wall. It was incredible.
Oh, yeah, I love that.
That scene so cool.
Yeah.
I actually had that in my notes here. I called it the pistol clothesline I was going to talk about.
Yeah.
Because the guy's running at you, and instead of, you know, what you just, you shot him as he ran by, and it totally looked like you were clotheslining him, but with a gun.
It was incredible.
The pistol clothesline. I love that. I'm going to tell that to Ben. He's going to.
It was great. That was really cool. I do have to ask you. So you trained a little bit with Zoe Bell on the set of Bitch Slap. So I was wondering if you took anything from her, tutelage and actually brought it over to Project Sarah.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, I think everything that I've learned from previous projects, you know, you keep it and then you want to build and build with whatever you're doing at the moment. But yeah, she's fantastic. She is badass and incredible and I love her. And, you know, so yeah, she was definitely helped give me in the beginning of my career some really good basics for the physical part of what I love to do in this whole crazy genre, you know, action fighting
stuff
that I love to do. So yeah, it's definitely, it's just, you know, she helped give me the basics and then everything I've done just, you know, you just learn specific for what you're doing for the certain project or. Yeah.
Absolutely. So we do kind of have to ask this cause you know, we're fans of you and fans of Project Sarah. Not really much of a spoiler, but it ends in kind of a massive cliffhanger. So we're kind of curious. Can you tell us what happens next?
no.
Can we see season two?
Actually, I'm sorry.
Yeah. I just thought I'd try and trick you.
I don't know what happens next either. I haven't read what happens next. I know there's a lot of directions that it could take. We could do more webisodes. You know, we could do that. We could do a movie. Some people I was reading online, people wanted to see it as a TV show. Mm-hmm. So,
awesome.
You know, I think that there was a lot. Yeah. I think there was a lot of really great feedback and a lot of people want to see more, which I dig. I want to do more. I really, really enjoyed it. So it's just now seeing what direction it takes and if it's, you know, but I have a really good feeling that, you know, nothing's set in stone, but I really hope that we get to all see what happens because awesome. I want to see. I don't even know. I awesome. Know what happens, but I don't know what happens.
It has a really great tone. It feels like a really high pressure show, similar to like 24 or something of that mm-hmm. nature, where you know the clock is ticking. You don't know what's going to happen next, and you're on the run. But then there's this whole interesting biological weapon aspect to it. So I think it's great. And definitely all of our listeners should totally check out Project Sarah because it is unique and it is a lot of fun. And Julia is awesome in it.
Aw, thanks.
You're welcome.
No, I appreciate that.
So we have been asking around for community questions and we're just going to have a kind of do a lightning round here. And
okay.
We'll read who said them. And there's a couple interesting ones in here. That
So I'll take the first one.
All right. Sounds good.
So Bernard Benuin, I really hope that I don't screw that up, but I'm sorry if I do. Which actors and directors would you like to work with in the near future?
Okay. Well, I love Quentin Tarantino. I mean, I think something like it's kind of goes back to the bitch slap sort of like the genre stuff that I love to do. I think he's just incredibly brilliant and, you know, has just this eye and makes everything entertaining, no matter if it's like suspenseful or it's funny. It's just entertaining. It's pure entertainment. And I love that. Thinking about like actors and stuff. Ryan Gosling's cute, so I say him.
Very honest answer.
Yeah.
I'm honest.
No shame in saying that.
No, come on, why not? let me think who else. Let me give you like a serious answer. I've actually always been a huge fan of Hugh Jackman. I think he's just so friggin' talented in anything that he does. I would love to just like, if I couldn't act with him, I just want to be on set and watch him. So, something like that. I love the Coen brothers, of course. Who else would I love to work with? Geez. Steven Spielberg.
There you go. That's
a, oh, wow.
Can't go wrong with that guy. I hear he's pretty good. I hear he's pretty good.
I think it's a safe bet. You know.
Yeah, back to Tarantino for just a second. Django was so good, wasn't it?
My gosh. I was blown away. I loved it. It was really long. It was the only long movie that I was so happy it was so long.
Yeah, absolutely.
I didn't want to leave the theater. It was so great.
I just want to like hang out with Christoph Waltz and just stare at him because he's so incredible.
Okay, you know what? I was at an Oscars party a couple weekends ago now, and he walked by me. Oh, so have you seen the SNL skit where he's Jesus Unchained? Oh, yeah. And I wanted to turn to him and go, "The H is silent," because like I was just, oh my god! And then he like walked by me, and I just I miss my moment.
Incredible. So you got to stare at him, which is one of my dreams. So
I did. He walked by me. And then he kept walking.
That is so cool. We have another one from, this one's from Twitter. It's at Alyssa on Twitter. And she says, plans for a bitch slap sequel. The world needs more Trixie. So I guess she's asking, will we see a bitch slap sequel?
Oh, man, I hope so. I actually just had dinner with Aaron and Amrika the other night. And we were talking about it. And, you know, I think everyone would be on board because we had so much fun. You know, and I think people still really, really want to see it. You know what? I actually spoke to Eric Grendeman, the writer and producer, a little while ago and kind of asked him. And I think that, you know, that's the thing about filmmaking. Everyone wants to do it. I think there might even be a script, but it's like it's nice. Sometimes just really hard to get even a sequel, you know, for things to happen. Yeah. It's like, I think to a movie to be actually made and produced and then it's like out is a miracle in itself because there's so many, you know, there's so many things that can go wrong. But
absolutely.
It's something I would really love to do for sure. I would love to play Trixie again, especially now where she went, you know, like she's now this like super like awesome badass, like I have a sword and I'm going to like cut your head off. I want to do that more. So that would be great.
I definitely want to see that. Well, and by the way, Bitch Slap has been so cool to us. They retweet us and kind of back us up all the time when we're, you know, communicating with you. So if they're listening to this, whoever is in charge of the Bitch Slap social communication, you guys are awesome. So
they
thanks.
Are. I mean, honestly, from the beginning, we've been so lucky. We have so many people online that are just, there's, you know, they are the reason why so many people know about Bitch Slap. So, you know. It's really awesome. So thanks, guys.
Yes, thanks. Thanks from us, too. Mm-hmm. That actually segues, since you were talking about Aaron Cummings. This question is actually from Lainey Hartley on Facebook. Mm-hmm. And this is not from me. This is from Lainey Hartley.
Just want to be clear.
Sure, quote unquote.
Clarifying. She says, what was it like making out with Aaron Cummings?
Well, I mean, I've said this before in other interviews. She had nice, soft lips. You know, that was, I mean, there was nothing wrong with that. I mean, was it cramped and awkward and not fun at all in the sweaty little trailer we're in? Yes. You know, it was like, it wasn't, I love it. It's so funny because it's like, it looks all like, you know, sexy and this like crazy, you know, makeout scene or whatever. And I mean, we just spent all afternoon kissing. And by the end, like my mouth was sore and I was just like,
Yeah.
It was just like, it was just, it's weird because she's my friend, you know?
Yeah, so yeah. That is like, a lot.
My friend, and, you know, and, but, you know, it was, I'm very, very serious actress, and, you know, Trixie needed that, and actually Pinky did. And,
method,
you know,
acting,
it was,
right?
It was the deep need and desire to, you know, get hers that drove it. It was nothing to do with me.
Amazing. Great answer.
I don't think people realize how many people are in the room when that happens, and the crew and the, it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And also in Video Village, where the monitors are. So, you know, it's not even just the people actually in the trailer. It's the people standing right outside holding the light, and then, you know, the monitors, and then
strangers walking by,
spritzing you down and stuff. It's just, yeah, I'm glad that people enjoyed it. It means that I did my job right. But it wasn't sexy at all. So sorry to burst any.
So another person on Facebook, Sarah Jane Acree, says, "Will you marry me?" Oh,
I think we got duplicates of that question too.
Yeah, there were many marriage requests, and I had.
You know what? It's really fun. I've been getting a few of those. Hey. I would like to say thank you. I'm not ready for marriage quite yet. you know, thank you anyways.
Well, very nice. Most of the requests I get are "get away from me," so that's pretty flattering.
Stop pounding.
Hey, Ash, get away from me. That's what I get.
And I thought it was just the restraining orders.
No, yeah, you know.
Womp, womp.
I know. Poor Ash. Anyway. So a couple years ago when we did our printer interview with you, you mentioned that you liked to write and you were into poetry and stuff like that. And we were just curious how that's going, because the whole site is kind of based around creative people and creativity. And when you said that, we were like, okay, now we're even bigger fans. So how's the whole writing and creativity thing going?
It's going good. Well, I'm still writing the same book. So when I took on this thing of writing a book, I'm like, oh, I have all these poems. I'm just going to put them together and it's a book. I realized that it's a lot more than just putting poems together that creates a book. So it's taken a little bit longer than I expected. But it's been sort of like an evolution. What I had 2 years ago is, it's completely different now. It's much better. It has more of an overall theme. It's filled in. It's more whole. It's not just like it, I feel like it's more of like a complete story rather than just a bunch of poems, you know.
Awesome.
I would say I'm actually about 98% done. I have
good
to
for you. That's
like, wow.
Yeah, well, I have to sit down with my editor a couple more times. I mean, I have a beautiful cover. I have the whole inside is designed. It's edited. It's everything. I just need to like just tweak a couple more little things and just stop writing, because that's my problem. I write something, I'm like, oh my god, I need to put this in, and then I have to like redo the whole book. So, but it's really great, and I'm really, really proud of it. And so hopefully soon, you know, I have a little bit of downtime, you know, between projects there and season two of Package Deal, hopefully. So I'm going to have some time to do some other creative stuff. So.
You're awesome at segues, because I was actually going to ask you a Package Deal. Tell us just a tiny bit about it, because we don't have that here in the U.S. right now, right? Am I correct?
Well, okay. It's actually nowhere yet. It's going to premiere on most likely May 6th in Canada.
Okay.
So potentially could be down here too. They're marketing it right now and they're selling it. What the goal was is they wanted to make a traditional American sitcom in Canada and make it completely Canadian. So that's what they did.
I love it.
That's really cool.
So I feel like it's like The Big Bang Theory meets kind of like How I Met Your Mother sort of thing.
Oh, excellent.
It's very, very funny. We have Harlan Williams, who's been in, who's like half big, Dumb and Dumber, Mary, like just it's such a long.
He's a funny guy. He's really funny.
I mean, try working with him. I can't. our characters don't like get along, but I love him in real life. He's so funny.
That's so cool.
Sometimes we'll crack a joke, and I'm just like, don't laugh. Great character. We just have an incredibly funny cast. Jay Malone plays another one of the brothers, and Randall Edwards plays my boyfriend on the show. And so it's about three dysfunctional brothers and the woman who comes between them, and their mother died. Their parents died when Danny, who's my boyfriend, was 12 years old. So basically two other brothers raised him. They're overbearing, they're overprotective, they're crazy in their own right. And so there's a lot of tension, relationships, and makes comedy.
That is so cool. We hope that it makes its way to us. We do have a bunch of Canadian listeners that should, Canadian listeners that should check it out as soon as they can.
Absolutely, yeah, it'll be on City TV, most likely May 6th. And any news that I have that it's going to be here or where you can see it, I'll definitely let everyone know.
Cool, awesome.
Yeah.
So awesome. So, really quick, I just wanted to wish you a happy International Women's Day.
Happy International Women's Day to you, too.
Yay. So, really quickly, do you have any advice for women out there trying to maybe do what you do? You know, any tips just for the regular girl that, you know, wants to get into acting and modeling and doing all the cool stuff, writing even? Would love to hear your advice.
You know, it's always sort of like the, oh, be yourself, believe in yourself, you know, all that stuff. It's like that you see that thrown around like all the time. But, you know, I really think that that's what it is. Confidence is everything. And you're in believing that you're worth it, that you deserve success or you deserve this, you know, you deserve to go after your dreams and, you know, not to let other things get in your way, whether that's, you know, a friend or a boyfriend or your family. I mean, it's like, you know, I think it's always good to, you know, listen to constructive criticism and, you know, advice from the family. Absolutely. But, you know, when it comes to your heart and what your heart's telling you to do, you just have to do it. And, you know, you'll never have the chance to do it unless you don't just sort of put yourself out there. And maybe you have to sacrifice something. But, you know, if you really want it and you'll go after it, it'll all be worth it. You know,
Love that. Yeah. I feel like a lot of women don't trust their own judgment or don't trust their own desire to succeed and almost feel like they shouldn't feel that way because they're women. So I love that advice. I think it's great.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just that you're worth it. You deserve it. So go after it, you know?
Awesome. That advice applies to guys too, because I felt inspired.
Because it's International Women's Day, I'm sorry, that's not for you today. It's only
for
you.
That's true.
Have that advice.
You can take that advice tomorrow.
Tomorrow it'll be worth it. So our nerd appropriate signature question, we asked this of everyone, and we actually asked this question to you a couple of years ago, but we're going to ask you again.
See if my answer's changed.
We'll see if your answer changed. But the question is, what is your secret nerdy hobby or passion that you're almost too embarrassed to share with everyone, but you're going to share it because you're on our podcast?
I think I answer last time? I think I answered that I like take little videos of my family, I edit them, and I like give them to my family.
Do you actually remember answering that?
I think that's what you said.
Yeah,
that is what I answered. I don't have a good memory. I don't know how I remembered that, but anyways, that's a miracle. I don't know. So, but that's still true, actually. So, but since I've already answered that, let me think of something else. Something nerdy that I do.
There could be something that you collect, like something you're obsessed with collecting, or.
Okay, there is something. It's maybe a little on the ADD side, but I'll give it a wing. So I have in my apartment in LA, I have it was like this big old white wall when I moved in. I'm like, God, I have to do something with that wall. And there's only so much you can do in an apartment. You can't be like painting shit, you know, you can't just be all like, you know. So I'm like, I need to do something that, you know, my landlord's not going to like, you know, give me like a $2,000 bill at the end of the whole thing. Fix the wall. It's not that exciting actually. So I'm making it sound like you guys are like, what is it? And it's picture perfect. That's not exactly super exciting, but so it's like, I have this beautiful like artwork in the middle. And then I've literally the last like 2 years that I've lived there, every seriously 2 weeks or whatever, I'll go and I'll like rearrange the picture frames and I make sure they're all right, and then like, oh, one day they're not right, so I'll have to like move them around, and it's turned into this beautiful, like everyone walks in and everyone goes, oh my God, your wall is fantastic. So
I have this awesome
picture frame wall, and it's like, it's kind of my little pride and joy right now.
That's exactly what the answer to this question is supposed to be. So that's
Yes.
It's whatever you love or passionate about, or almost, like we said, too embarrassed to share, but you did it anyway.
It's kind of embarrassing because I'm like, I sit there and I'll like be up at like 3 in the morning with my glass of wine going, no, no, that picture's got to go. Like, it's just like, a picture. It's not even anything that's, but it's something that I obsess
you,
over.
You don't like take a level out and make sure they're all perfect or anything, do you?
No, I eyeball it.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah. Has a more natural look that way.
Absolutely.
It's a little crooked, you know, hey, you know, that's the way it goes. Not everything, it doesn't have to be perfect, you know?
Very nice.
I like it.
Well, our time with you is almost up, but do you, are you going to be at any conventions or anything in the next couple years or, you know, anywhere promoting anything?
I would love to, actually. I don't know. I saw something on Twitter. Someone was wanting me to go to the UK Comic Con or something.
Oh, really?
Wow. Yeah, I would love to go. I actually, you know what? I've never really done that. I haven't, other than just promoting some Bitch Slap stuff at Comic Con, I haven't really like done the whole convention thing, but I have a lot of people on Twitter and Facebook messaging me and asking me to go and would want to see me. So I don't see why not. I should, I would really love to. So, no official word, I guess yet, but yeah, cool. It's definitely something that I want to do. So
yeah, we'll be at, San Diego Comic Con this year. So hopefully
perfect.
We'll be there.
Maybe we'll run into each other.
Perhaps. So what else, do you have anything else to plug before you get out of here and go on your Friday night, actually go out and, is it Friday? Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, go party it up.
And or maybe you'll rearrange your picture frames.
Maybe.
I'm going to go rearrange my picture frames. I'm still
with wine.
I got talking about my picture frames and now I'm just, oh, now I got to go. And
oh, no.
go spend a couple hours on my picture frames. let me think. Anything else we did in my book and package deal and I think that's about it. That's kind of all.
Where can folks find you, like on Facebook and Twitter and all that?
I'm super simple. I kept it really easy. It's my Twitter is at Julia Voth. My Facebook's at Julia Voth, and my Instagram's at Julia Voth. And that's pretty much it. So just if you just put my name in, I'm sure you can find me.
Well, thank you so much for hanging out with us. It was an absolute pleasure. And
yeah, I'm so
maybe
happy.
Maybe we'll have you back on someday in the future.
What was that? Sorry.
I said maybe we'll have you back on someday in the future and you can come hang out and tell us more stories. They were awesome. They were fun.
That would be wonderful.
Hopefully we'll get a package deal down here too. That would
be
I hope so. I really do. I'm really proud of it. It's so funny. It's just we had such a blast, you know, and it really was. I had the time of my life up there. Shot in Vancouver, so did in front of a live audience, like true sitcom style, had 300 awesome. People every week to perform and play in front of. It was just fantastic.
That's so much fun.
That sounds like so much fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was really, really a blast. So hopefully, you know.
Cool.
Well, and I'm thanks super excited again. About your book, by the way.
Thank you. I'm really excited too. And like I said, I hope it's not another year, like 2 years from now when we're doing our next podcast. I'm still talking about the same book. I will try that not to happen, but thank you. Yes.
It's acceptable. We'll forgive you.
It'll be just such a work of art by then, you guys. You won't even, it'll just
there
be,
you go. So fantastic. It'll be a really thick book. It'll be a giant encyclopedia sized book.
Exactly.
Oh, that would be fun. And you can come and read from it on the podcast. That would be great.
Just take up like 5 hours of just reading this poetry.
Absolutely.
Excellent. Well, thanks again, Julia.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
Okay, guys, we are back from our interview with Julia Voth. She was a lot of fun, huh? That was kind of amazing.
Yeah, and if you've not seen Project Sarah yet on IGN Start, I encourage everyone to do so because it's pretty awesome.
It is. It's pretty incredible. It feels like it has a massive budget when it probably actually didn't have a massive budget. So yeah. I'm really interested to see if maybe it'll go to series or who knows. But it has so much potential. And it's shot so incredibly well, and she does such a great job that I really, really want to see more of it. So
yeah, it was really exciting. It was really cool that she could be on with us too.
Yeah, and her origin story is pretty incredible. I mean, she like, you know, shipped out of the middle of nowhere, Canada, on a grain farm, and then was discovered by Capcom as like, pretty much a teenager. And
it's cool that her family was totally supportive of her endeavors and her desire to go do those things. So.
Yeah, absolutely. You can kind of see like when you interview people and you can tell when they more than likely had a very supportive and level-headed family because they generally turn out to be kind of nice people.
Yeah.
And I know that's a horrible generalization, but it's true. It's like, oh, this person's really nice and they're not pretentious at all. It's like, oh, they probably were raised very well. So hats off to Julia Voth's family.
Yeah. Actually, behind the scenes, nice enough to come back on to record the bumper with us after we forgot to ask
her. Oh, yeah,
to
totally. Yeah. We forgot to ask her for the bumper and we were like, hold on, come back. And she came back to the bumper for us. So
super, super cool. Professional, guys.
Yeah. You know, we fuck up again now and again.
Never.
Just everyday people. That's what I'm trying to.
Yeah.
But
yeah, she's definitely awesome. Go check out Bitch Slap if you haven't seen it. She just actually put out another film called Lilith. Go out and find Lilith, which is available on DVD now. And follow her on Twitter at Julia Voth. She's good people. She's super friendly and she's the real deal. So
absolutely.
Cool. So that about, sums things up for episode 97 of the Rated NA podcast. Thank you guys so much for tuning into our show. We've been doing this for a couple years and we absolutely love doing it, and we love that you guys listen. So you can always find us on the Twitter at NerdAppropriate, where we on the old Twitter.
On the old Twitter.
On the old Twitter. Oh, not again.
Oh, no.
You can find us on Twitter at NerdAppropriate, and we will do our best to talk to you if you talk to us. You can find us on Facebook, Goodreads, Google+, all just, you know, NerdAppropriate. Look for NerdAppropriate. If you want to email us directly, you can email Ash, Matt, Hillary, 1L, or Scott at NerdAppropriate.com. And we will hopefully respond to you in a very timely fashion. Our music, or mainly our theme song, is by Big Giant Circles, Mr. Jimmy Hinson. And you can check out his music all over the place. If you do a Google search for Big Giant Circles, he'll pop up. Or you can find him on Bandcamp under Big Giant Circles, and you can buy his music there. He's an incredible composer, and you guys should support him as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We will be at PAX, I guess,
next week.
So yeah. Come
it's
find
crazy.
Us. Come find us. Two days
after you listen to this podcast, we will be at PAX.
So yes. Find us on the PAX floor. Shoot us a tweet, and we'll come hang out with you.
Oh, my God.
Guys, thank you so much, and we will see you as soon as we are capable of podcasting.
Yay.
Yay, bye, everyone.
More than everybody here on the podcast.
What's your score?
17, I think.
Oh, yeah. I got you beat.
Yeah, that's not surprising.
And all of a sudden, my voice is all like, brr.
I got you beat. I got you beat.
What the fuck was that?
Got your beat, son.